Republicans shellacked the Democrats in the midterm elections, Mr. Reid was preaching bipartisanship and had this to say: "I think the main message that we should have received last night is that the people of Nevada and the American people want us to work together. But when it comes to politicians, watch what they do, not what they say." And it's not just Democrats. The Republicans put Fred Upton on the fiscal committee. This is the guy who wrote the light bulb ban and then realized that people hated it, so he promised to repeal it. Based on that promise, Republicans made him chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and since then he hasn't done one thing about giving us back our incandescent light bulbs. How many times does this guy need to do the opposite of what he says before conservatives get a clue? Al Gore was in the news this week, too. He was in Colorado giving an angry speech about his favorite topic, global warming, which, because they ran out of actual evidence that the globe is warming, had to be renamed. Now it's called climate change, so they can blame all the weather on American SUVs and cow farts and not just the hot days. Al Gore was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007 for the gung-ho sales job he was doing on the global warming, now called climate change, issue. And he brought his prize money home to Tennessee and dumped it into his housing fund to pay for his 10,000-square-foot Nashville mansion that gobbles energy 12 times faster than a normal American house, and his $9 million oceanfront villa in California that will soon be underwater if his own sea level predictions come true, and his 100-foot houseboat. Yep, that's right, you heard me correctly. Al Gore has a boat that is 100 feet long. If you know anything about boats, you know that's a big boat. This is a guy who wants the rest of us to cut back on our energy use to save the planet, but look at what he's doing, not what he's saying. Meanwhile, in the White House, we have our hypocrite-in-chief, Barack Obama, whose wife is running a healthy eating campaign while he's down at the local fast food emporium eating cheeseburgers and fries. Obama loves to chastise Congress for lack of work right before he goes on vacation, as he did last week. And only 2 years after taking office, he's vying for the presidential record for number of rounds of golf. He brags about openness and transparency, but won't release any of his personal school records, medical records, travel records, or passport records. Took more than 3 years to release a scanned image of his birth certificate, and wrote an autobiography that is consistently contradicted by the few actual facts we know about his childhood. Our president's favorite whipping boy is Wall Street. He loves to give speeches where he criticizes Wall Street greed, Wall Street bonuses, and Wall Street blame for the financial crisis. But guess where he got his biggest campaign donations? That's right. Wall Street showered Obama with money during his 2008 presidential campaign. His largest single source of money was Goldman Sachs, the Wall Street investment banker whose employees subsequently swarmed into Washington, D.C. to work for the Obama administration. Many people call this the Goldman Sachs presidency rather than the Obama presidency because there are so many of them running the government right now. Is it any wonder that every White House decision regarding the ongoing financial crisis has benefited Wall Street in general and Goldman Sachs in particular? Watch what he does, not what he says. Obama doesn't hate Wall Street. He is Wall Street more than any other president in history. Gee, maybe that's why Wall Street is fat and happy while American homeowners are still losing their homes to foreclosures in record numbers. You think? It's simple, people. The big secret to being an informed voter, to helping America take back its freedom and sense of purpose from the professional politicians, and to making yourself immune to the mainstream media's lies and misinformation is this: watch what they do, not what they say.
Weasel. Wow.
Are you saying I shouldn't have said that?
Well, I don't know. You know, he did a lot for the state of Nevada.
When
he did a lot for the state of Nevada. And I think they all, I don't know. I think they all get in there with the right reason, and then I don't know what happens to them.
I don't either.
They go crazy. I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat.
Something about that city corrupts everybody who goes there.
It does. And I'm wondering
where...
And
I'm not talking about Vegas. Isn't that weird? I'm talking about Washington.
Yeah, well, you don't get corrupt in Vegas. You just... What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But what happens in Washington is not staying in Washington
messes
anymore.
Messes us all up, yeah.
Yeah, and it used to be that way. What I'm wondering is, where have all the liberals gone?
What do you mean?
Where are all the liberals?
They're the people running that city.
Yeah, but I think they're like hiding. You don't see them coming out. You don't see them saying anything. They're almost afraid and embarrassed to say they're liberals anymore. They're calling themselves moderates.
Yeah. It depends on whether they're running for office or not. Have you ever noticed how conservative liberals sound when they're running an election campaign? And then as soon as the election campaign is over, boom, they're back to their normal selves.
Well, it just seems to me like that's just happening to all our politicians.
That they're not quite
what they are. They're still the governor, and they're saying all that. Well, maybe even governor's too far gone now. I'm not sure. Wait till after Sandoval is in there. But it just seems to me like they start out like the guy that we're going to talk to, Tim Fasano. Great guy. He's going to come in after the news, and we're going to talk to him. He's running for on the independent American Party ticket for Nevada Congressional District 2. Sounds like a great guy, really neat, really has good ideas, really wants to listen to the people. We'll talk to him. You'll hear him. Just a down-to-earth guy who really knows how to run his own business and everything. What's going to happen to him after he gets to Washington, when eventually he will?
Mm-hmm.
Because you start up the chain, and you start out, and then you run into the brick walls.
I've told you about Pete Hoekstra back in Michigan, right?
No, I don't think so. Hoekstra.
Rode his bicycle up the shoreline of Lake Michigan to run for Congress. He was like a Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of thing.
Yeah.
Swore he would serve two terms and then come back to Muskegon, Michigan, and that would be it. Two terms were up. He said, my constituents are begging me to stay in Washington, and that was the end of that promise. I just don't know what happens to them when they get there. They start thinking they're...
I don't know if it's so much of that or what they have to go up against, you know. Pretty soon they're all working, the inner workings become money and buddies and do for me, and they don't even like what they're doing. I mean, and pretty soon they get shaded, and then they feel ashamed. I don't know. Do they feel ashamed?
I was no longer living in Michigan when he decided he was not going to live up to his two-term pledge. But I sent him an email and said, you are not irreplaceable, Mr. Hoekstra. Go home. You promised to do it. Now go home.
And did he?
No, he's still in Congress.
He's still in Congress, yes.
He ran for governor. Well, maybe he's not. He ran for governor this last election cycle.
It happens to them all. I don't know how, what, when, or why, unless they're a movie star. If their background...
then they can leave?
It seems like if their background...
Shoot, Arnold wants to be president now.
I think we got somebody calling us here. Was it Obama? What'd you say?
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
he wants to be president.
Still
now.
Making noises about doing away with the what is
well,
it?
No, he's fixed himself now. You know, yeah, the maid and all.
He can't
know,
make
that's
it
not
now,
gonna
yeah.
No. They're not gonna,
he ruined himself.
He ruined himself. He ruined himself.
He'll never get a female vote again, right?
No, he won't. No, he won't. And a lot of men won't vote for him either because they want that honesty too. I mean, they have to be true to their wives. You think they're gonna let him, you know what I'm saying? Rule of hand.
I know what you're saying.
Rule of
yeah.
thumb. Yeah, they stick together. Well, do come back and join us. Tim Fasano is here, and we're going to talk to him about running for the Nevada's Congressional District 2, and we'll find out what Congressional District 2 consists of.
It's big.
When we come back on Broadview. Your news is next right here on KBZZ Sparks Reno. This is an Americom broadcasting station.
News. I'm Sam Litzinger. It's mostly considered to be a popularity contest, but many of the GOP presidential contenders are taking the Iowa straw poll very seriously. The non-binding contest, which people have to pay to take part in, offers the candidates a chance to test their organizations and their messages. Here's Tim Pawlenty's.
If you look at my record in Minnesota, what you'll see is we took spending from historic highs to historic lows. We cut taxes in my state net over the 8 years. We did health care reform the right way. No individual mandates. No government takeovers.
Michelle Bachmann says she's a uniter when it comes to conservatives.
Whether we are Tea Party or social conservative or fiscal conservative or national security conservative, we stick together.
We should know the straw poll results pretty soon. Analysts say some contenders who don't do well in Iowa will probably call it quits. At a conservative gathering in South Carolina... Texas Republican Governor Rick Perry's entered the GOP presidential race swinging. He says President Obama's economic policies are disastrous and his foreign policy is an incoherent muddle.
For nearly 3 years, President Obama has been downgrading American jobs. He's been downgrading our standing in the world. He's been downgrading our financial stability.
Perry's expected in Iowa tomorrow to begin his campaign. He's talking about his job creation record in Texas. And he's promising to reduce the role of the federal government in people's lives. While the GOP presidential contenders are taking verbal shots at him, President Obama is taking a trip. Starting Monday, he'll be riding a bus through some of the key Midwestern states looking for support in his bid to keep his job. The economy and what many see as gridlock in Washington expected to be the hot topics. Remember the recent flooding in North Dakota? CBS News correspondent Stephen Kaufman says the people of North Dakota certainly hope so.
The mayor of Minot, North Dakota, whose city had 4,100 homes damaged or destroyed by summer floodwaters, feels his community's pain has been forgotten.
We have a resilient people here, and we will someday be a better Minot, but right now it's a difficult situation.
Kurt Simpleman says time is running short.
Many groups have been in here to try and help, not to the degree that we really need the help. We're moving towards winter here in the next couple months, and we have to find places for these people to live.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
About 50 teenagers have been arrested in Philadelphia for violating an expanded curfew. People under 18 have to be off the streets by 9 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays in two neighborhoods that have been the scene of recent attacks by mobs. More than 2,000 people have been arrested across Britain in connection with the rioting that broke out in London a week ago. More than half of the arrests were in London, where police say 745 people have been charged with violence, disorder, looting. No signs of major disturbance.